Hello, guys, gals, and my non-binary pals. Welcome to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve and your Political Week in Review, broadcasting live on the Really American Media platform. It's been another wild boar of a week. Oink, oink. The political dumpster's ablaze, but let's put out this shit show and reload your brain with the facts you actually need. All right, you little bastards. It's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Come on, you feline. Start scratching the post. Holy moly. Take it away, gentlemen.
All right. Here we are, taking it away. Welcome one, welcome all. The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Here we go, ladies and gents. Political week in review. And welcome to Fuck It Friday.
Oh, are we on? Excuse me. Never do that if I thought we were on.
What the hell's wrong with you, dude?
Oh, sorry. Hello. We've been away. My manners have gone away as well. We were here last Friday, but we couldn't get on YouTube for some odd reason. And then, no. Oh, yeah. Nick was evacuated on Tuesday. So this is our first show on YouTube in like a week and a half. So.
Wow. You lost sight of your broadcasting etiquette that quickly, huh?
No, I'm just going old school. Like, you and I have never farted or burped on air before.
Please. No, no.
We're professionals.
It's just a little more respect required here on the Really American Media platform, Stephen.
I was reading my Howard Stern book, so I thought I would. Oh, crap.
Oh, you got your Zoom on your camera. You're sitting all fancy over there, dude. I don't think you know.
I didn't realize I had a Zoom on the camera. That's the first time I've ever seen that, so that's weird.
Interesting.
Cameras pay attention when the king of all media comes on. So.
Yeah,
I guess that's true. Yeah, we're here. Plenty to discuss, that's for sure. If you want to message us or find out more about us directly, you can go to our website, thevocalminority.net, and hanging out here at Really American for all sorts of fun.
Indeed we are. You're a little overmodulated there. Let me tell you guys this, as we make our way into the weekend, it is my hope and my desire, compliments of my therapist, to let go at 4:05, whenever the show's over, just like, hey, Nikki, you got to let go for the weekend and just relax for 2 days straight. Do you think I'll be able to do it? Do you think I'll be able to stay off all forms of social political news?
Why would you want to? I don't understand.
It's just giving me anxiety. I'm too filled with it is, I guess, what the problem is. I need to take a break. That's what it is. I need to take a break. Like, we need to take breaks from things in life, okay?
That's fair. Do I sound better now? Because you are so much louder than me in my headphones. I don't know.
Yes, you do.
Okay, good. Listen, I do notice that I am obsessing on it a little bit. Like, I wake up and Trump is the first thing on my brain. I've got politics on my brain constantly. It's also like, you know, my dad's a doctor. I assume he's got medicine on his brain all the time. I mean,
yeah, that's
what we
true.
Do. So,
yeah,
I feel like it's attention to a detail and the obviousness. And we live in a political cycle that won't let you take a freaking day off.
So, yeah, just won't let us take a day off. Hey, dude, as I look at the calendar, Friday, December 19, 2025, Dateline, Washington, D.C. Big things were supposed to happen today.
Yeah, well, I think today is the beginning of the official Epstein cover-up. You know, I mean, today's the day. They waited until, I don't know, about an hour and a half ago to release some things. And there's this old philosophy in the world of politics that if you're going to dump bad news, you always do it like on a Friday afternoon, Friday evening.
As people fire people.
Weekend,
yeah.
Unplugging. So they waited as long as they possibly could. And we found out today they're not even releasing everything. And what they have released today was either old shit. I have seen pictures of an entire pages redacted, like just a big
just blacked out page.
An entire page. I don't think that counts as releasing something if the entire page is redacted.
Yeah, I don't think so either. As we were waiting for the DOJ to release files today, I kept Google searching, and they said, oh, hey, all you got to do is go to, I can't remember the site off the top of my head, DOJ.gov or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And you should be able to just search through the files. That was the promise. That was the guarantee.
It was in the law, searchable.
That's right. And every time I went, it said nothing had been released yet. I was like, what? You're waiting till, and then they said, okay, 3 o'clock on the East Coast. So at noon, went on and checked.
Nope.
Nil. Nothing.
It came out about 1:30 West Coast, so that's 4:30 East Coast. Website immediately crashed, but multiple news agencies got on there right away and said that when they searched the word Trump, that nothing came up. They also searched the word Clinton, and nothing came up. Like, names that we know are in there didn't even come up on their searchable website that they set up to abide by the law. And I've already seen, like, I've got an article, I think it was Ro Khanna from California, is talking about articles of impeachment against Pam Bondi. She should be prosecuted. They're violating a federal law. But isn't
That's true.
There an inherent problem with violating a federal law in the world of Trump?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you just get a pardon. I don't know. Can you get a pre-pardon?
Yes. Biden did it for Hunter. So, yeah.
Okay. So,
Trump has immunity, quote unquote, thanks to the Supreme Court that he's got in his back pocket. And if, you know, Bondi were to be prosecuted now or in the future, he could either pardon her up until the day he dies, which if I was Pam Bondi, I'd be telling him, can you preemptively pardon me right now? I don't really want to hinge on your health.
No kidding. Misty 1806, did we expect anything informative, really? I don't know. I'm telling you, I didn't. But Steve has been saying, like, it's the law. They got to do it. They got to drop it.
Well, here's what I was expecting. Release it all, because they were required to, and they've told us now it's going to take weeks before we can still get to the rest of it, which is obviously bullshit.
Yeah.
But I was expecting them to at least release it all so we could see what they were hiding. How much did they redact? What did they put out? Because if you see what is and isn't there, then you can start to dissect it. Because as I've said, there are FBI agents, there are surviving victims, there are people that have seen the unredacted versions.
Yeah.
So you would think some whistleblower would step forward and say, like, no. Like, I know what's under that, and it's not, you know. But if they're not even going to release it all, then they're just playing games.
Well, there's a good portion of the population that doesn't think Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide. So whistleblowers are a little apprehensive, I'm sure, or more than a little apprehensive, because could there be a sentence of death? You know?
I don't know. Robert here, part of their active investigation, right? I was told the letter of this law said that if they're going to hold something back because of an active investigation, that they have to tell us what the active investigation is.
Okay.
So if they're looking into Bill Clinton, for example, they would say none of the Bill Clinton stuff's going to be out because we have an active investigation. Or at least this page has been redacted because of this investigation. I haven't seen anything like that.
So, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, we've got some new pictures that came out yesterday that I think are worth a quick flip through. And then a few did come out. Pictures in what they released today, which I find highly dubious and suspicious, and I think you'll see why.
Okay. Well, let's get into it, for crying out loud.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Standing by.
Yeah, people are upset already. 86-47 regime now. Yeah. F. Kinkles, McTaco Tits, F. Mega.
Yeah, we agree with all those things, and Pedo 47.
People chiming in the comments right away. All right, so let's quickly flip through what came out yesterday, because like I was telling you off air, like, I don't know that it was all that interesting what did come out yesterday. Now, there's a few of these pictures here where someone was writing on a woman. And apparently it's excerpts from that Lolita book, which the main disturbing thing to me about these is that I feel like if you're writing on a woman, you feel that she is your property, or at least there for your amusement. There's some sort of ownership / condescension going on when you're writing on a woman.
Or you're in seventh grade math class.
Right. Which I always hated that, too. I hate people that wrote on their arms and stuff. But so, yeah, these are apparently blurbs from the book. So, okay, great.
Yeah.
And there's a few of these. Here we got Epstein on the plane again with Noam Chomsky. Okay, great. Bill Gates just keeps on showing up in these things.
For a long time, the richest man in the world. And I don't know. Every picture I've seen of Bill Gates... I mean, the girl next to him, I realize it's redacted face, but it doesn't necessarily look like minor.
Teenager? No. I mean, it would appear to be an adult, and he's not, you know, he's next to her. He doesn't have an arm around her. And they appear to be in some sort of hotel lobby, by the way. You got luggage carts. Those look like those, you know, little office suites you can go in and print stuff out or make phone calls.
Sure. Yeah.
So, you know, again, I don't know what he would be. Why there would be something guilty going on.
Can we zoom in on his pants, Steve? Does he have a boner?
I don't know. I see the spinning wheel over his crotch. That Windows thing, still loading.
Yeah.
More writing on women. And this appears to be right above somebody's breast. So, again, weird, condescending.
She was Lola in slacks. That's weird, dude.
Again, I'm told a quote from Vladimir Nabokov's Lolita. So, okay.
Yeah.
Few of these. Here's one more. She was Bali at school. Like, I guess somebody finds this funny or alluring. I don't know. Here's writing up and down a woman's spine. Weird.
This is bullshit, dude. This is what was released here on the 19th of December.
No, this is what the Democrats actually put out yesterday. So these were the ones that got dumped yesterday. And I was saying, like, I don't even know why they put some of these out. I mean, all of these writing on the women are weird and creepy and certainly telling, but I don't know beyond that.
Telling of what?
I mean, just the creepiness, the weirdness. Either way, these are women that are being doodled on. So, like I said, that to me reeks of exploitation, a feeling of ownership, condescension. Like, I don't know.
I suppose.
And then, again, we got freaking Woody Allen here.
Who is that in the back? Is that John Eastman in the back?
Woody Allen, and I don't know how the background is. Doesn't say. So, again, weird. Close-up of Epstein. Okay, great. Now, this one's a little bit funny right here. So, this is David Brooks.
Okay.
He is with the, I believe, the New York Times. And he wrote an article a couple of weeks ago saying, all right, everyone, let's get over this Epstein stuff. You know, we got more important things to talk about. I'm not going to be recovering this as a journalist. And then, oh, what do you know? You're in the pictures.
He's talking just like Trump, dude. Are we still talking about this? Right. Yeah, that's funny, dude. And why would he say that? Knowing, you know, that's a great point you made earlier. Excuse me. The fact that the website crashed, I mean, that means that there is a lot of freaking people that want to know what's in these freaking files. We already know that. I mean, that's old hat. So, yeah, why would you say you're not going to cover the news?
Right. Maybe Bill Gates is responsible for the crashing, too. That would make sense. So, anyways, again, this looks like some sort of meeting or something, but the fact that he's in there at all is a little weird. Photograph of Salar Kamangar. I think he's the Segway guy again. So great. Photograph of Sergey Brin. Don't know who he is, but okay. I'm sure people do out in the comments. Another close-up of Epstein for some reason. Now here's one of the creepy ones. So this is apparently a text where Epstein is buying a woman.
Oh.
It says, I don't know. Try to send someone else. I have a friend, Scout. She sent me some girls today, but she asks $1,000 per girl. I will send you girls now. Maybe someone will be good for Jay. Jay, assumably meaning Epstein. And this person has to be, I would assume, Russian or Ukrainian, somewhere in Europe, because they put the dollar sign at the end of the price, not the beginning.
Interesting. Interesting.
And then at the bottom here, it says name redacted, 18 years old, height redacted for some reason, measurements and weight redacted.
In kilograms.
Yes, in kilograms. Good. And then a departure city somewhere in Russia. So it would appear this was a correspondence buying someone.
Yeah, that's odd, though, that they're the same. They're all the same color. You know, these texts. It's just one person texting.
It's not a back and forth.
Okay.
And this was on, I believe someone said, not Slack. What's the other one? Snapchat or something where they can encrypt it.
Yeah. Yeah. Snap.
So, creepy. And they were all sent pretty much back to back. If you look at the times, 55, 56, 56, 56, 57. Late at night, too, by the way.
So, totally.
Creepy. This is one of the women's passports, apparently. And the only thing they really left unredacted is the country of origin, Ukraine.
Okay.
So, weird. And then, you know, here's the disturbing one. So, we got Epstein. Photograph shows Epstein surrounded by women whose faces are redacted in this updated picture released by the Democrats Oversight Committee. So, have no idea where this is, presumably one of his properties. But I mean, we got three women whose faces are blacked out. They do look young. It almost looks like he's putting a bracelet on her, maybe tying her wrists or something there, right?
Yeah, something weird. I mean, it's a weird picture. And why is that Alfred E. Newman on the wall? I was wondering that, too.
It looks like Alfred E. Newman meets the Joker with this weird toothy smile, awkwardly, off-centeredly hung on this wall.
Yeah, it's like they're in a dungeon, dude.
Or this almost looks like soundproofing tiles to me, like some sort of soundproofed room or something. Don't know.
When you essay girls, maybe you need a soundproof room. I don't know.
Right. This girl here is looking at something on the computer, God knows what. And that, to me, looks like one of those Russian eggs, or, you know, like it's the egg inside the egg, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but maybe so.
Who knows?
You're very perceptive today, dude.
Thank you. Epstein with, again, a girl that looks, you know, not that old to me. Photograph shows Epstein next to a woman, they say, on a plane whose face has been redacted.
Next to a woman who needs to eat a cheeseburger.
Right. So that's weird. And then the last one, basically the reverse angle we've already seen of Epstein and Steve Bannon yet again talking with the creepy pictures, and looks like tea and crumpets or something here on the table.
Dude, who takes these pictures? That's my question.
I had asked you that. You were like, Epstein takes them. Like, any of the ones that he's not in, I assume he is the one taking them.
Right.
But all of these other ones, I don't know. So those are the Democrat ones. And then just today, don't look at my search history. let's see. I'm going to the Daily Beast for this one. So, okay. So here's one of the ones. I know it's kind of small on the screen, but this is Mick Jagger, and that's Bill Clinton.
Okay.
So they released a picture. There's Epstein. There's Mick Jagger. There's Bill Clinton. Clinton's going to become a recurring theme here. Now we have Epstein and fucking Michael Jackson.
That doesn't surprise me.
Creepy Michael, too, late in life. He's whiter than white.
Yeah, he almost can't see his face. He's as white as the wall. But here's the thing I start to wonder, though, dude. When you look at all these pictures, like, I don't know when that is. Michael Jackson's been dead for a long time now. But
2000s,
yeah. Oh, yeah, so quite a while. When you look at some of these pictures, I mean, how are we going to be able to decipher between, oh, this is just some rich guy who's got an island or even a brownstone in Manhattan that's beautiful. He has great parties and he invited me over. There was, nothing done. How do we separate the two?
I would assume with context, with either somebody explaining, because all of these ones from the White House today don't have any context going on. So it's hard to say. You would think some of these other documents might shed a little more light on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're right. Like when P. Diddy threw parties, during the election last year, a lot of people are like, you Democrats own P. Diddy now because they're, Oprah's at his party or George Clooney's at it. Like, yeah, famous people do hang out with each other. So it is certainly hard to distinguish who's up to shenanigans and who isn't. So I don't know. Another picture out. Again, Michael Jackson, who's that? That's Jackson's sister, right? One of them. And Bill Clinton. So, again, the White House released an awful lot of Bill Clinton pictures today for some reason.
Yeah.
We got another one here with fucking Mick Jagger and Bill Clinton again. Like, they can make it any less obvious that they're trying to throw Clinton under the bus.
And Mick Jagger, because he doesn't want them to play their music. I mean, this is ridiculous. Well, like, look, we've already said this. If Clinton is guilty of anything, we want him held accountable. Anyone in these pictures that is guilty of anything, we want held accountable. It doesn't work the same way. You guys are releasing this shit because you think, like, ooh, burn, look who's here. But no, send him to jail.
See, here's what I think. I think they're trying to throw Clinton under the bus, or at least say, look at other presidents were hanging out with him. But by releasing like someone like Mick Jagger, who's no one has ever accused of anything, and I don't know why he would need to. The guy can get tail left and right.
Of course.
I think they're just going to try to paint the picture of, look, he hangs out with celebrities. Like I was just saying with P. Diddy, like Trump's a celebrity, Mick Jagger's a celebrity. Like, he just hangs out with famous people.
Violet Storm says Clinton was a musician too. This is goddamn right, Violet Storm. He played the saxophone and he played it well on Arsenio Hall.
Right. Now, here's the weird one, though, of Clinton. So I know, again, it's small on the screen, but this is Bill Clinton with a woman who I don't know, body type, late teens, early 20s, but she's got his arm around him and he has his arm around her. And I think this is a plane. They seem to be on a private jet.
Yeah, so possibly.
There's zero pictures in this universe of me with my arms around some strange woman when I'm in a relationship, which Clinton is obviously married for many, many years, certainly when this picture was taken.
How do we know it's not Chelsea? How do we know it's not a niece or nephew? Like, it's redacted, dude. Well, I don't know who that is. That it's not is a minor. Fair,
but it looks model type. It's not Chelsea Clinton. But
We know he cheats. Like, we already know he cheats. That he's guilty of that. But that's not what we're talking about here.
Right, right. Yeah. And that's it. So those are what the White House put out today.
Boring.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, they're trying to throw other celebs under the bus and or paint the picture that, you know, Epstein just hangs out with a bunch of famous people. I don't know what you know, Trump's famous, Clinton's famous, Mick Jagger's famous. So.
Yeah. Let's not forget that Trump, not only did he say, like, oh, just grab him by the pussy, you can do whatever you want. But then when he was deposed, the lawyer asked him, like, you said, grab him by the pussy. When you're a star, you can do anything and they let you get away with it. And he doubled down and he was like, yeah, I think that's known to be pretty much true. So, you know, what are we talking about here? Just creepy men who get blowjobs in the Oval Office. We're here to talk about sexual assault, pedophiles, molestation, all of that shit. So put it out, White House. I can't believe, dude, that more of these files weren't released today. I mean, I can, but I can't.
Right. I read an article earlier saying this is not so much of a legal problem for the White House because they're now defying a federal law as it is a political problem. Because, yeah, if you've got nothing to hide, you would obviously just release it all.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's bullshit that his name doesn't come up in the search since we know he's in there. He said it. Susie Wiles admitted it in that Vanity Fair interview this week.
Like, yeah.
So why make it look like you're hiding something? That to me says the truth is worse than the perceived cover up.
Of course, dude. It's just how a kid acts, you know, when you catch him in a lie. Did you see the email exchange of Thomas Barrack, the ambassador to Turkey?
No, I did not.
Tom Barrack Jr. serves as the current U.S. ambassador to Turkey, confirmed by the Senate April 2025 after nomination by President Donald J. Trump. This is an Epstein email exchange that he had that also sat in the files, newly released 2016 emails from a House Oversight Committee document trove. This is how it starts out. Jeffrey Epstein says, "Hope you're good. Let's catch up." Or no, I apologize. Barrack said that. Epstein replied, "Send photos of you and child. Make me smile." And yes. Later noted that those photos looked good. So he supposedly sent them, you know.
Mm-hmm. Here's a mega talking point I keep hearing. I think we got a troll today. 4 years, Democrats said 4 years, but now it's all going to come to light. And the Democrats can't hide. Okay, as Nick just said, we are more than willing to throw any Democrats under the bus that are, you know, proven in anything like this. We have never sung Bill Clinton's praises since about 1995. And secondly, people seem to keep forgetting that, you know, a lot of this was still an open investigation under the Biden years, so they actually couldn't release a lot of the stuff. And then It would have looked like straight up political shenanigans if right before the election they start releasing all this stuff and Democrats, for better or for worse, try to take the high road. So I'm extremely sure there was a discussion of you can't release an ambiguous picture of Trump and some girls because it's just going to look like you're playing political, you know, malfeasance here. So, you know, I think they were correct to wait for the investigations and then it got close to the election and not do it. But if you want to say that the Democrats were calling for it, then why don't you call out Trump for his 4 years where he could have done it or the last year where he can now do it? Do two wrongs make a right? You're saying the Democrats suppressed it, but now it's okay that your boy does?
And how about we just back up and you just go fuck yourself? Because this isn't political, dude. This is about charging guilty people with pedophilia and rape, sexual assault. Stop making it political, dude. It's not a Democrat Republican thing. Yeah, walk out of here and go masturbate.
Yeah, no, exactly. What's falling apart? I think this is referring to our thumbnail that we don't technically make, but what's falling apart, I would say, is the facade that they're going to get this all out today, that there's nothing to hide. Like, it's falling apart in that they're trying to make us look the other way, yeah. But no one is. Everyone is paying very close attention. Like Nick just said, the website crashed. Like, they're trying to distract, but it is starting to implode. And yeah. They're going to slow roll it, and that's going to probably work to some extent. But no, it is starting to implode on them. Otherwise, just get it all out there and be done with it.
Yeah,
the news cycle will move on if there's nothing there.
When you ask what's falling apart, another campaign promise of Donald J. Trump. Biden didn't campaign on this, okay? Right. Donald Trump fucking campaigned on this. He said it for months and months, and everyone ate it up. If you don't care anymore, you voted for your cult leader. You didn't vote for this kind of shit, dude. Who's falling apart? That's a great point, Rachie Ray. MAGA is falling apart. We're seeing it more and more every day where MAGA is eating each other. It's starting.
It's hilarious because, yeah, are you pro-pedo or anti-pedo? Because you shouldn't be defending anyone on any topic. And you shouldn't sit here saying, why didn't the Democrats release it? Well, if you're upset the Democrats didn't release it, despite the rational reasons I just gave, then you should be doubly upset that your boy's not releasing them.
Yes.
And as I've said many times, I don't actually know if Trump did anything inappropriate with teenage girls. You know, I mean, I think if there was hardcore evidence, he probably would have been prosecuted for it. But I've seen multiple tangible things that show that he knew what Epstein was up to. If I knew that you were doing this stuff, Nick, and I covered up for you, that makes me just as guilty, if not even more, because you would have a defect to be doing this stuff. What's my excuse for covering up for you?
Silence is violence, right?
Yeah, it's complicit. Like, it's exemplary after the fact. That freaking birthday card, I'll keep saying it, was a teenage girl. That's why Trump denies it so heavily, because he knows it's an admission of guilt that he knew what Epstein was up to.
He's been found civilly guilty of raping E. Jean Carroll. You know, you see him talking about going into the dressing rooms of Miss America's pageant and inspecting. Yes. You hear him talking about Ivanka. When she's fucking 11 years old, talking about how great her body is. Like, don't play fucking stupid.
I don't remember if it was when Ivanka was born or I don't know, one of them, though. He was on the Lifestyles Rich and Famous. And what was that guy's name, the host?
Robin Leach.
He was like, tell me about your new baby. And Trump's like, oh, beautiful baby. I don't know if she's going to have these yet. And he's motioning to the breast like mom does. So pointing at Marla Maples. Like, it's a baby.
Yeah.
Not that it's better to do it for your 13-year-old daughter, but it's a baby he's talking about. So, yeah. I mean, listen, the guy is certainly unhinged and not well, but, you know, trying to cover this crap up is not going to work. That is what's falling apart.
Let me put it to you like this. When you put a buffet in front of a fat guy, he's going to eat at some point in time. You know what I mean? Like, we already know he has some sexual picadillos. You know, like, you put the buffet in front of him, it's probable that he ate, okay?
Yes. And again, just all these skeevy pictures of any of these people with their arms around women when they're married. Like, it's just insanely inappropriate. I give a lot of credit to Keanu Reeves and to Eminem. Because if you see them in pictures with women that want to take a picture with them, Keanu Reeves especially, but Eminem's been doing too, Keanu will put his arms around the woman and let his hands float. Like, he won't touch them. He just puts his hand behind so it looks like they're taking a cat. But his hands are not touching the woman because Keanu Reeves is either married or long-term, whatever it is. But he just knows that's creepy. It's inappropriate. If you're in a relationship, you don't do that.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, I don't know who the woman was with Clinton there. But I don't think that's okay at all. And no, Clinton is a skis ball. So no one here is defending him.
No. Get a little sexy time. Somebody said that. Like, get in. Get a little sexy time going with Clinton, dude. So I guess, I don't know. I don't even know what to tell you, dude. I guess we wait for something, another shoe to drop. I don't know. I have no faith in this DOJ.
Yeah, no. Every time when it gets too hot, it's a Democrat hoax. Yes, that's how you know he's guilty. Whenever he calls it a hoax, whether it's his convictions or this Epstein stuff, like, it is such a tell. He would be terrible at poker or the best person to play with, because you can tell when he is lying.
Yeah.
When he says it's a hoax, or you know this. Everyone knows this. Like, he's always lying when he says stuff like that.
If you think of it, if you really think of it, you know, this is crazy, dude. Affordability is a hoax. Every time he's backed into a corner, it somehow gets hoisted onto the Democrats as a hoax. We know this.
Yeah, exactly. So,
all right.
There you go. We've been counting down for this, and it is a letdown, but this is part of the chapters. It's part of the saga. They're not going to get off the hook for this. I don't know what level of accountability there could be, because they're literally breaking the law. And even that troll boy who I noticed has vanished now, like, you don't think it's bad that your president is directly violating a law that he signed 30 days ago?
Yeah. Right. It doesn't matter, dude. He's got immunity, so what does it matter?
How is that not an impeachable offense? I know you would have to have the Congress and the Senate to actually do it, but how you broke a federal law. How is that not impeachable?
Yeah, should be. Down is up, up is down. You know, this is we're living in different times here, Stephen, so there are no rules.
Hi from Scotland. Talking of Ivanka, anytime she was near her dad, she always put her hands across her private part. The reason bad memories of him touching her when she was young. Yeah, I mean,
possible.
Certainly possible. Certainly possible.
People are saying.
We have this clip of Marla Maples saying that when her daughter, and I don't know if that was Ivanka or one of the other ones, but when the daughter was 14, she said, don't let her hang out alone with Donald, especially at this Mar-a-Lago party that he apparently told his daughter to dress sexy for.
Yeah.
So
it's just, it's weird, dude.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Let's leave this in the rear view mirror, just like all the Republicans are trying to do right now, and jump into the Vanity Fair published article. Did you read it, Stephen?
No. I mean, I've read the excerpts and the highlights, and I've seen the crazy obnoxious pictures.
Yes.
That are way too detailed.
On purpose, that photographer is being called a genius for not only their photography, but for some of the artwork and what it represents. And we can get into some of that. But this was article 11 interviews with White House Chief of Staff Susie Wiles offering blunt insider critiques of Trump's cabinet and administration during his second term's first year. Wiles calls the piece a disingenuously framed hit piece now that it's out.
But that they've not denied any of the quotes.
No.
Notice that.
Well, and I'll let you know why that is. Susie said that it all omitted context to portray chaos, though she did not dispute the quotes, like Steve just said. And I think this is probably why.
Catherine Levitt took it a step further, calling your reporting disingenuous and that words were taken out of context, basically saying you were not doing your job correctly. Can you prove otherwise? And have you heard from the White House, from anybody in this White House directly?
Well, you know, Mika, here's a rule of thumb for young journalists. When your subject starts talking about context and being disingenuous and framing, you know you've done something right. The reason they're not talking about the substance of the piece or any of the quotations in the piece is because they know full well that every word is on tape. I spoke to Susie Wiles 11 times, 11 in-depth interviews over nearly a year. And what was remarkable about it, and she deserves tremendous credit for it. She was freewheeling. She was unguarded. She was unlike any other senior White House official I've ever encountered.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's up with that? Because she's not dumb.
No, of course she's not. No, I mean, just like we were just saying, MAGA is starting to eat each other. And whether it's a comfortable position to come out and make those admissions right in front of the president, when you're a keyboard warrior, like, it's all that shit's easier to say, right? When you're sitting down talking with someone. We got in trouble so many times when we were doing a talk show, or like, oh, I can't believe I fucking said that on the air. And then, you know, that's something I never would have said just in the privacy of our conversation. That's all it is, dude. That's exactly why.
Well, it goes back to the master, Howard Stern. Like, he's so good at getting people relaxed where they kind of forget the microphones are on and they start talking about stuff they don't realize. So do you think it was that the Vanity Fair guy just got her comfortable, or did she know what she was doing planting these things to, you know, undermine Marco Rubio and Elon Musk and all these people?
I think it was a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I think that there was probably some of that there. And I think, she just got way too comfortable. Let's listen to what this interview finished up on here.
How often do you get a fact check, a confirmation from Donald Trump, who admitted that he has an alcoholic's personality? Apparently, he wears it as a badge of honor. J.D. Vance said he's a conspiracy theorist. He just believes in conspiracies that are true.
So when you say that these interviews are on tape, because there is a lot of pushback from the White House, but it's very clear in these interviews that you tell them they're on tape, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, it was crystal clear from the get-go. Senior White House officials never do this, but Susie was absolutely on board from the beginning. And by the way, when I told her, hey, guess what? Vanity Fair wants to publish the piece. She said, fantastic. Congratulations. Look, everybody was on board. Everybody knew the drill. When the photographer, the Vanity Fair photographer, went to the White House, we were there the entire day.
It's all above board, dude. People knew what they were getting into. Maybe it was easier to say that stuff a little while ago, and now the place where we find ourselves with this administration, it's a little, you know, time for damage control. I don't know.
Yeah. I also assume they thought Vanity Fair, like, it's not, you know, Newsweek or Politico. Like, they probably thought they were going to get some fluffy piece, some well-done photos that would make them all look like Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Like,
yeah, maybe so.
Yeah, they may not have fully understood what they were getting into, but you can't take it back. And also, I would be shocked if Susie Wiles does not get subpoenaed in some lawsuit, because she talked about Trump's vendettas, that he was going after people. He was going after Comey and Letitia James and stuff. Like, that's not okay. That's not legal. I would assume she's going to be testifying about some of this stuff at some point. But again, accountability in this world, non-existent.
Yeah. Damage control mode, Trump told the New York Post. Wiles did a fantastic job. And of course, the cabinet rallied on X, but allies were questioning why Wiles participated in such a lengthy, glossy expose with photos. And people, I don't know, people are loving the photos and people are hating the photos. So let's just see a few of them now.
The animal. Trap till the cage is full. The cage is full. Today is new. And everyone is waiting on you. And you've got time.
So, yeah, some of the photos there, people are going off on Lion Carolyn Leavitt.
Carolyn.
That's right.
You see the smudge of orange, right?
See the smudge of orange, dude, and you just wonder, right up that booty hole, huh?
That's taint bronzer, I think, is what she's got there.
I think so. But even the funnier part is her lip injections, you know, that they got so close that they could see all those injection marks into her lips. Like, everything about these people is completely fake. That last picture, was that Hegseth right before Stephen Miller?
I didn't know. I didn't see Hegseth in there. Maybe that was him. I didn't think so. I didn't recognize who that was. So,
yeah. Well, I think it has to be Hegseth. He had the Hegseth haircut. So,
yeah, could be.
He looks funny from the side, but
some of us on air people look weird from her profile.
So. Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
So yeah, we'll see what happens with all of this. There's already rumors that you know, they're going to sue Vanity Fair to get that the pictures removed, and I'm like, yeah, those pictures are in perpetuity, dude.
I was gonna say, first of all, good luck deleting those from existence. Yeah. Secondly, they're real pictures of real people. Yeah. Thirdly, he's got audio of every quote, which is why they're not refuting any of it. So they can threaten to sue like they always do. And yeah, this thing about Caroline Leavitt, her Botox gal hates her. Like, I guess if you zoom in, you can see the little needle injections, and they want to know why he didn't remove those. Like, why is it their job? These are not Sports Illustrated, you know, swimsuit models to airbrush people and make them look better.
Yeah, I don't. The photographer talked a lot about how these photos were shot. You know, there's one picture that I don't have to show you, but I'm sure everyone has seen him. But it's little Marco. Standing over, kind of just staring at a wall, but his body is completely mimicking that of the way Trump stands. These pictures were very intentional, and the photographer talked about why they wanted to get them done so close up to really let you see how what these people look like under all the polish that they put on, trying to resemble, you know, people with humility and empathy, and that's what it was all a part of. So
yeah, I agree. And like Violet Storm here says, she's only 28. That is disappointing for anyone in their 20s to be doing Botox and all this stuff. Like, that speaks to some level of vanity, narcissism, an unhealthy view of yourself. Like, you're young. Just be what you are. And have you seen the before and afters of her, like, just 2 or 3 years ago?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's not even the same person.
Right. Really. I mean, she's a good-looking person. Like, what are you even doing? So
She really isn't. I mean, when you see her close up, you see all the wrinkles. I mean, I'll tell you this. My wife looks younger, and she's, you know, 48 years old. When you look at her face, like, damn, dude, I don't know if you look like that before you came in and had to lie to the American public each and every day, if that's right. Aged you.
Yes.
So.
No, it is all fair. And, you know, I mean, we're talking here about the fact that the mega base is already cracking over this Epstein stuff, because some of them want this more than anyone else, which I find humorous and appropriate. You should want this a lot.
Yeah. But
Trump's just been imploding of late. I mean, this last week here, we had that rally in Pennsylvania where he got up and did his first rally speech and dismissed accountability and just told lie after lie after lie after lie.
Yeah.
I mean, his own base was making fun of him for that. Then the Rob Reiner thing, that seems like a year ago. But that was just insanely disgusting on every level, to make it about himself, to blame Ron Reiner. I mean, that seems to be the one issue that has become bipartisan. I mean, I've seen more MAGA denounce him than on any other issue for that one.
Well, I was telling you, dude, that, you know, for show purposes only, I downloaded True Social. And I went on there because I just wanted to see what that post looked like on his page. Yeah. And I started going through the comments. Dude, I am not shitting you and not exaggerating or lying. When I was going through those comments, there were one after the other saying, oh, yeah, I support you 100%, Mr. President, but this was too far. It was all shit that echoed that sentiment of like, oh, I can't do this anymore. I've voted for you 3 times, but this is sick.
Totally. There's been a few issues where some of his people say stuff like that. But to hear you say, and again, kudos to you for signing up for Truth Social. Because
oh, thank you.
A, you're taking a hit for the Team Blue here. B, I am extremely sure Trump is spying on you right now. So good
luck. Of course.
But to see comment after comment after comment after comment of his base denouncing him, not to mention multiple elected officials, you know, public figures, James Woods, who is just hardcore mega conspiracy, hates the libs. Even James Woods was like, no, that is not
sick. Okay. Yeah, that was wrong, because for all intent and purpose, you couldn't really find a guy other than Trump that had a bad thing to say about Rob Reiner. Even if he didn't agree with his politics, he was a sweetheart of guy, and that was said and echoed by many. So
an iconic, I mean, good grief, from Spinal Tap to The Princess Bride to
Stand By Me,
and like When Harry Met Sally. I mean, come on. Yeah. And Trump tried to say the struggling Rob Reiner, like just, you know, again, projecting. So
there's on Archie Bunker, dude. Come on.
Exactly. Let's see. We talked about the Susie Wiles thing. Then, I mean, we've got this Kennedy Center renaming shenanigans going on right now because Trump, as always, is so desperate to put his name on everything. But I think it goes a little deeper at the Kennedy Center because the Kennedy Center is culture. It's pop. It's pop. Oh, yeah. You know, it's theater. It's music. And Trump so badly wants to be accepted on that level to the cool kids, to the Broadway crowd.
I've got a great video piece to play for you on the Kennedy Center that I saw this and I was like, oh, I hadn't even read that yet, dude. I mean, because there's so much weird shit going on.
Yeah.
Let's play this.
The board of the Kennedy Center voting today voted to rename the renowned performing arts facility in D.C. the Trump Kennedy Center. We should note the vote was actually not technically unanimous. Congresswoman, you attempted to object to this vote today, but tell us what happened.
We have a mute-unmute button. I had been unmuted all along. Some of President Trump's cronies announced, oh, we've got this new thing we're going to tell you. We're going to rename it. At that time, President Trump said, oh, I didn't even know about it. All of this is absurd. And at that time, I wanted to ask questions, voice my opposition, ask why, and immediately I was muted. And as I continued to press unmute, I then received a message saying I would not be unmuted. They proceeded to say it was unanimous. That is not true.
That's some real dictatorial shit, you know?
Yeah, it's unanimous when you shove everyone's head in the pillow and don't let them say anything.
Yeah, dude.
Not to mention the disingenuousness of Trump to say, like, oh, did they do that? I didn't know they were voting on. He's the chairman of that fucking board.
Of course.
And he's all his cronies.
He's been saying it in jest a lot lately, you know, like you know about it, dude. Come on.
Of course. So, but again, though, like it is not the Kennedy or it's not the Trump Kennedy Center. It is not the Department of War. It is not the Gulf of America. Just because the president deems these things to be true doesn't make them true. It is written into the law on the Kennedy Center that that's the name. So you would have to get, you know, Congress to change the name. Same with the Department of Defense. And the Gulf of Mexico is a international body of water. No other country is calling it the Gulf of America. So
why would you? It's a delusion. It's just a delusion.
So. Yeah. So don't give into these shenanigans because none of it's actually real. And I just cannot wait for whatever, January 21st, 2029, when somebody – I don't care if it's Newsom, AOC, Mark Kelly, like whatever Democrat freaking wins. I would just like you're moving into some beat up house. And you're like, I'm not moving in until the cleaning crew goes in there, sanitizes that place, take down all of that shitty plaques that he's put up, put the roses back in the rose garden, take all of this stuff down, take his name off every wall. Like it's immature high school level bullshit trolling, and none of it is going to last forever.
And it'd almost be funnier if it was Chris Christie, you know, it would almost be funnier if it was a Republican that was like, oh, I can't have any of that shit in here, you know?
Well, and that's a distinct possibility. I mean, even Brian Kilmeade or whatever, Fox News, was railing on this whole plaque thing that Trump did, where he's trolling former presidents with a plaque, you know, about Biden or about Obama or that Reagan loved Trump. Like, when Fox News is even telling you you've gone too far.
Yeah. If you didn't see the White House changes, these are some of the recent things that have happened and what Steve is talking about
here. I just left the South Lawn of the White House, and we noticed some very interesting changes that President Trump has made to the colonnade. He has now installed a presidential walk of fame. On it, he has photos of every single president. He has now added descriptions underneath every single presidential portrait. The descriptions under his predecessor, Joe Biden, read sleepy and crooked. He calls former President Barack Obama one of the most divisive figures in American history. And then as for former President Bill Clinton, he has a note under there that his wife Hillary lost to him in 2016. These are just some of the changes that the president has made here to the White House. We already know that he has completely demolished the East Wing to make room for that ballroom. He's also paved over the Rose Garden. There's now a concrete patio in its place.
What a tiny dick, dude, that he would have to mention on Bill Clinton's, your wife ran and I scrubbed the floor with her, you know.
Say it. I mean, he is projecting, he is compensating. It's like guys in huge jacked up trucks.
Yeah.
Like, I just see that and I think, oh, he's got a little dick. Like,
yes. You're
clearly overcompensating. And this is just the inability to take the high road, to just be like, you know what? I won. Screw all of you. Onward we go. But now he is just spending his time on petty grievances. And, you know, there's a big debate right now if that East Wing, you know, the ballroom is even going to come to fruition. A, because Trump is so not focused. He's like a cat with a laser pointer. And he's the one that's apparently in charge of all of this, especially after he fired the main architect that came on. But a judge said this week that I'm not going to stop this right now, but if you don't start following the legal standards, I will tell you to take it down.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't even know that he's got the attention span to get that project done.
When I saw that new presidential, you know, wall, I just thought to myself, you know, when the Boy Scouts or whoever schools come in there and they take the tour of the White House, that's what they look at and how disgraceful that is.
Yeah. I don't think the tour includes that little part because that's right outside the Oval Office, but maybe I'm wrong. But certainly world leaders and celebrities and all that kind of stuff. But I also hate the gold cursive writing. I mean, first of all, it reeks of dementia. Then you got to label your freaking office the Oval Office or whatever. But it just reminds me of every like housewife I know that watches HGTV too much.
Yeah.
And they just have shit written on their walls.
Yeah. Love. Family.
Like, you know.
Live, laugh, love.
Yes.
Yes.
What the hell, man?
It's cheesy shit. Well, we're getting calls in the chat for this next story. We got it lined up for you. Trump is bringing on all forms of battle because that's what any good dictator does. You know, back in the Roman days, they had the Colosseum. Like, we like blood. We like to fight to the death. And we love the Patriot Games, apparently. So let's see.
In the fall, we will host the first ever Patriot Games, an unprecedented four-day athletic event featuring the greatest high school athletes, one young man and one young woman from each state and territory.
But President Trump wants to celebrate America's 250th birthday with what some are comparing to the Hunger Games. But the games aren't the only thing the White House has planned. Trump laid out plans to build a, quote, triumphal arc, like the Arc de Triomphe in Paris, as well as events throughout the year.
On Flag Day, we will have a one-of-a-kind UFC event here at the White House. It'll be the greatest champion fighters in the world, all fighting that same night.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So I will tell you, you know, all of the crew here at Really American, we have a group chat where we all discuss stories we're going to do and we kick ideas around and whatnot.
Yeah.
Tony posted that yesterday on the group chat. And I immediately was like, that's fake. That cannot be real that Trump just announced the Hunger Games. So I rapidly like fact checked it. And I'm like, holy shit. He fucking announced the Hunger Games. I thought you were supposed to avoid dystopian futures, not make them a reality in the here and now, just for the fuck of it.
It's what he's trying to do, dude. I mean, I think he sees himself like he knows he doesn't have much time left. So how much bullshit can we squeeze in at the end, you know?
It's insane. I am happy to hear some of these UFC fighters. Another one came out today and just said, like, I'm not fighting for a bunch of spoiled rich billionaires on the lawn of the White House. Like, I'm a real fighter. I don't want anything to do with that.
Yeah.
But this sending out two high school kids from each territory or district, as they say,
yes,
in the Hunger Games.
One young man and one young woman. Transgender what? For all.
Yeah, right.
Transgender for everybody.
There's a tweet, whatever we call them nowadays, that's, you know, making the rounds. Somebody posted back in March of 2016, user Eric Smith Rocks. He shared his tongue-in-cheek predictions. 2016, Trump will not win. 2017, now President Donald Trump cannot do that, can he? 2018, hey, you watching the Hunger Games tonight? I hope my district wins.
Jeez, dude.
That was a sarcastic prediction of how the Trump presidency would go, and that guy freaking nailed it, you know, 7 years ago, that we would be doing the Hunger Games. What are we talking about? And who wants to sign their kids up for that? The ridicule, the scorn, like, that's going to be child abuse if you decide as a parent to sign your kid up for the freaking Patriot Hunger Games.
This is Gladiator Games for modern emperors, is what Newsweek had to say about it. And yeah, that's true. I mean, this is absolutely crazy. They are, you know, obviously ties, like I said, to Roman spectacles. But all of this shit, I think, like I said, he's just trying to throw this in. Viral Post labeled it Trump's descent into Caesar-style rule. I mean, people are talking about this. It does not sound healthy or right. I mean, this guy is mentally going crazy.
I almost wonder if he's just trolling us all to see what he can get away with. As Mary here, may the force be with us. No, may the farce be with us is what you're probably trying to say.
Trying, yeah.
And then Von Krul here. At least President Camacho cared enough to find a smarter person to help solve his problems. This is Idiocracy, the movie, because we are living in the idiocracy that the Mike Judge, the guy that created Beavis and Butthead, you know, made this movie years ago, predicting how dumb our country would become. Yeah. And it's almost as if Trump is like, took it as a documentary or a prediction of the future or something.
Right. Because
President Camacho was having, you know, fights and battles at the White House. I mean, medals. Every cabinet member was wearing a medal around their neck. You know, fun bags over there as the Secretary of, you know, Labor, Education, whatever.
It was all ballroom style. I mean, machine guns in the ballroom and,
Although I will say, Von Krul, there was a great scene there where President Camacho pointed out the Wilson boy, that he's the smartest guy and he's going to solve all our problems, which is exactly what Trump did with Elon Musk about a year ago. We got Musk on our team, smartest guy there is, rich guy. And actually, I always forget it's Luke or Owen Wilson. I think it's Owen. No, it's Luke Wilson. And Luke Wilson and Elon Musk kind of look alike, actually, like tall, thin white guy, short, dark hair. Like, you know, it's eerie how many things in Idiocracy are either literally happening or close enough.
Yeah, it's like The Simpsons, dude. So
Yes, it is.
We are running short on time. I got to play these things for you just only because I want your reaction so badly. And
I know you're ready to be done for the weekend, but I have no plans. So we can
run good. Yeah, we can run a little over. You know who Leslie Jones is? Oh, let me play her second. This is Caroline Liar. And she had something really I couldn't watch this without dying through it. This is not meant to be comedy, but I think it is for sure, dude.
I think the president has made conservatism and made Republicans cool again. I think that the culture has really shifted because of this president. His engagement at sporting events with young people across the country. You talk about the Kennedy Center. You have the world's best musicians now embracing the president and his policies. You see celebrities in Hollywood who are quite silent in his first term now coming out in support of much of what the president is doing. The business world, the tech world, the industry. And that had a real impact on the election, and the president's just bringing that here. The culture, I think, has shifted in a big way, especially for young people, and I think the president has been a huge driver and force behind that.
She just kind of made it cool again, dude. How out of touch are you?
I mean, that is a just cognitive dissonance there. Like, no, people love us. They're not making fun of me on Saturday Night Live every week.
Right.
It's fine that Taylor Swift and every musician of relevance is coming out against Trump. The best musicians in the world. Listen, I don't despise Kiss, but come on now. Best musicians in the world, maybe for a minute in 1984 or something.
Maybe, dude. Come on.
I mean, you got Kevin Sorbo and Kid Rock on your team. If you think that's the culture, if you think that's society switching to you, I mean, come on.
He's made it cool again. People are saying. people are saying.
And then they'll turn around and denounce South Park for making fun of us and Jimmy Kimmel and Stephen Colbert and Saturday Night Live and screw Jack White and screw, you know, Shepard, what, I don't know, every musician that has come out against them.
Yes.
Like we've said for years on this show, like they hate it when the cool kids denounce them, and that happens repeatedly.
Bruce Springsteen has been failing for a long time. Yes. No one knows who Green Day is.
Exactly. Oh, Sabrina Carpenter. That's what I was trying to think of. Like, from the young to the old in the world of pop culture. No, they're all embarrassing.
Speaking of Saturday Night Live, we all know who Leslie Jones is. Of course, she was in Ghostbusters, but yeah, she was on SNL for a long time. Yeah. And she was on MSNBC, which I guess now is just
MS Now.
MS Now.
Yes. They got sold from NBC, so they had to rename.
Yeah. I just thought this was fantastic. Keep in mind what I'm about to show you was live on the air.
He's calling female reporters piggy and stupid and dumb and insubordinate.
These people let that. I don't mean no harm. If he would have said, shut up, piggy, to me, I'd have been like, you fat yourself. You stinking bastard. You wouldn't be able to talk to me like that. Who you calling piggy, you fat?
Wow.
Yes.
Or she walked in on, I mean, like, how are y'all not losing your shit like that?
It's a wonderful question. They bleeped it, obviously. I would have loved to hear the unedited version, but that's exactly what I think every time he gets away with treating someone like shit. Like, how come you just don't go in on him?
Right. Now, first of all, that's Nicole Wallace's podcast. That was not MS Now, but I do believe she, you know, runs that thing live. But either way, that's hilarious. And as you and I have said before on the show, I just want one of these female reporters, the next time Trump says, you know, you're not smart enough, quiet piggy, any of that stuff, just look at him and say, what the fuck did you just say to me?
Yes.
Like, I'm not going to let anybody talk to me that way. I don't care if you're the president. I don't care if you're my daddy. Like, what in the fuck did you just say to me?
Completely.
And then I would like to see the other reporters like, yeah, like what the hell? Like, why does nobody call this asshat out?
Yes, I don't know. I don't know how people you think. Look at Kristen Walker, dude. I just wonder, like, how do you let this go on for so long where you just don't have something to say back? Like,
yes.
I don't know why you fucking think you can talk to me like that.
Well, it sets a bad precedent, by the way. I mean, I'm all for equality between the sexes. I'm all for the Me Too movement. But you guys got to stand up when you're called out on live international television. You cannot say that we deserve to be treated a certain way and then let Trump walk all over you. I would sing the praises of any female that would just tell him, don't you ever say something like that to me again.
I think the problem is first of all, we see guys do the same thing. You know, we see guys not saying anything back and just moving along. But when it comes to women reporters, I watch it with my wife constantly in the in her law office. Like, guys can say things that girls can't, and girls can say it, but there will be repercussions behind the scenes, and they'll get snubbed out a lot of times. I mean, it's just it's how the system is built.
Within her law firm, maybe, but that's not this. I mean, these are reporters that are out there covering a news story, and then they become part of the news story.
What if you're not going to be allowed in the press conference room anymore? We already know he's kicked people out of there and said, you're not welcome back here. You treat me with disrespect.
I would accept those consequences because you're going to become an instant celebrity. Some other news network would pick you up if you got fired. You're writing books. Like, and you bring up a good point, by the way. I should not be singularly calling out women for not standing up. You know, where is Jake Tapper? Or where are the other guys in these rooms saying, what did you just say to her? Like, that is, like, no, completely wrong, completely inappropriate.
Yeah.
Just the fact that they just let him because, oh, he's the president. We have to just let him speak and just cover what he says.
Fuck that.
No, yeah. In a traditional time, you don't debate the president. You let him say what he's going to say. But when the president's constantly engaging with you, fake news, where'd you get that question from? Fact check. Like, he's pushing back on you. And reporters always say, like, I'm not the story. You're the story. I'm just asking a question. Well, those times are dead. So everyone needs to grow a backbone. And I get that we can't just stop covering him because he is who he is. But you can push back when he pushes on you.
Yes. You'd like to see a woman stand up and make her voice heard, Steve? Well, let me give you this. On December 17th, which was just a couple of days ago, Code Pink activist Olivia DiNucci interrupted Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent's dinner at Revelers Hour restaurant in Washington, D.C. Have you seen the video?
I did a whole thing on it, so yes.
Oh, you did? Okay, well, let's take a little peek for the audience here. Oh, where did I put? Oh, here it is. Okay.
We have a special guest here, and we want to make a toast for the Secretary of Treasury, Scott Bessent.
Oh, yeah.
So let's give it up for the man who is eating in peace as people starve across the world based on his sanctions, which are economic warfare.
Of course you're going to boo this. It's the truth.
He oversees the death of 600,000 people due to sanctions annually. And this president, let's cheers to the Monroe Doctrine. Yeah. Trump today said that Venezuelan oil.
And you have no idea how ignorant you are.
Ignorant, you are responsible for the death of 600,000 people annually because of sanctions. How many people are going to die because of the blood is on your hands?
The blood is on your hands. You should be ashamed.
I love how he gets up and goes to the staff to complain. You know, that is just so life of privilege, Mr. Bessent.
Whiny little snowflake. And at the beginning of that video, he had the look of like, oh, someone's about to toast me. Because he's looking all intently. And then, you know, just his entire body language demeanor changes.
Yeah.
And for him to call anybody ignorant is humorous to me because, see if I can share this. Yes. He is the guy that claimed the reason our beef prices are so high is because immigrants are bringing cows with them when they illegally cross the border into our country. So he thinks that this is happening. They're bringing diseased cows into our country, yet he has the balls to call somebody else ignorant. I find that funny.
On the backs of slaves? On their backs? That's how they're getting them over here?
Well, that's what everyone claims in Trump world. First of all, Trump has said no one's coming across the border, but Bessent's out there saying, well, people are coming across still, and they're bringing diseased cattle with them enough to drive beef prices up, which is
I thought that was Argentina that was driving beef prices up.
No, Argentina, who is we're giving our money to, not only for the bailout, but to buy their beef cattle. You know, like, it's just so insane. I also love that he gets down in the gutter right away. He starts heckling the heckler. Boo, you're ignorant.
Yes.
And then, he stormed out of there. He spit in his food and walked out.
Unbelievable. That happened in Washington, D.C., the safest place in America.
Right.
Which Trump has just doubled down on in the last couple of days, completely forgetting that someone was murdered in the National Guard.
Indeed. Now, that video was funny. The balls it takes. And first of all, that woman, I know she's part of Code Pink. I'm sure it was a coincidence she was there, but she is well informed. I mean, talking about the Monroe Doctrine, talking about the 600,000 dead, because in the story I did, if you want to go see it, it's on the Really American channel. But, I mean, the cuts in aid that we have done, 600,000 people is a conservative estimate. These are people that have died from either starvation or lack of medicine in third world countries. It always takes years to have tangible data to report this, but multiple people on the ground and people that oversee this stuff have reported that number, that an estimated 600,000 people have died because of our aid cuts, and then Great Britain followed our lead, and so did some other countries, because they're all like, well, if America's cut it by, and by the way, we saved $12 billion by what we cut out of USAID this year. Meanwhile, we gave Argentina $20 billion.
Yeah.
So it's not about the money. It's about the cruelty. And of those 600,000, 400,000 of them are children.
Oh, well, does that matter?
Not in Trump world, no.
Quiet, Piggy.
But like I said in my video, you know, the big house, Ann Arbor, Michigan, University of Michigan Stadium, biggest stadium in North America.
Yeah.
Holds just over 100,000 people. Picture four of those sold out stadiums full of children's bodies. That is what Trump has done so that Elon Musk can stand up there with the chainsaw and say, I'm saving us all money, everyone. Look, I cut off this aid. Like, who even knows where that was going to?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. People are all hyped up that Trump is stepping in to save the farmers without realizing Trump fucked the farmers to begin with.
Right.
So,
Yes, he's giving them the tariff money that is what fucked them in the first place. And I just need to rant real quick. I hope my son's not listening. I just bought my 16-year-old son a very nice dirt bike helmet, a $200 helmet. And in order to get it here on time for Christmas, I had to order it from overseas. I was warned when I ordered it that there would be a tariff on it. So I asked ChatGPT, like, what's the current, you know, tariff coming in from Germany? Because that's where this helmet came from. And frickin' ChatGPT was like 5%, you know.
Yeah.
I got a tariff bill for $80 on a $200 purchase.
Well, you know, ChatGPT does have a little wiggle room because the tariff percentage is changing so frequently that who could keep up with it?
Yeah, but 5% versus 45% is quite off. Now, granted, about $10 of that was UPS adding some extra tariff collection fee or something. But,
yeah.
I mean, that is almost half of what I paid for the freaking thing. So, again, this absurd notion that it is not Americans paying for this stuff, like, I just lived it. So,
we've brought in trillions of dollars, okay? Ask not what you can do for your country. Yes.
I love when you have trillions of dollars we've raised. Yes, off American companies or Americans. Like, that is the biggest tax increase. And MAGA, the idiot, like, yeah, tariffs are great, man. Like, you would shit a brick if we were like, we're going to add an extra 40% tax on Americans or American corporations.
He talks about getting rid of the tax, income tax altogether, but tariffs is his favorite word. So,
right. I would much rather pay a sales tax of 7 or 8% than a 45% tariff to Germany.
You heard about this 1776 warrior checks. Did you hear about those?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So, yeah, Trump is going to give, you know, $1,776. Very cute marketing to some military people, right? And those that's all coming from the tariffs. That's all coming from your helmet purchase, Steve.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, he is going to.
Did you see Gutfield talking about that?
No.
Yeah, Fox News Gutfield, who's just a Trump sycophant up and down, defending everything. He even tried to defend the Rob Reiner crap. Like, he even said, like, okay, so it turns out that was already congressionally approved bonuses for the troops. So yes. Gutfield even said, so let me get this straight. Trump took the money from the troops to give it back to the troops.
Yes.
And we're all supposed to sing his praises for it because he stamped the 1776 on it.
Yeah. Well, this is why he did that 1776 thing.
Well, the 1776 was easy to come up with because we're actually at 1775. You know, the number was 1775. And I said, wow, I think we can afford one more dollar. But we actually, they came up to me, it was, you know, $1,775. So I said, well, let's add a dollar to it. I think we can find that. Very simple. We've had a military that, in my opinion, by other presidents, was not treated well.
Unbelievable that he thinks it's so cutesy. And it's not just a dollar. Yes,
but it's a way of taking care of our warriors, our soldiers.
Enough. It's not just a dollar. It adds up to like $140 million, doesn't it?
Right. Of course it adds up. It's a dollar per person. And bullshit, by the way, the only reason that thing is not $4,700 after the 47th president or $4,500 or $4,547 is because they certainly couldn't afford that.
No.
So he just wanted to be as cutesy as he could. But again, congressionally approved money already earmarked to be given to the troops.
Yes.
And like classic Trump and Republicans, like, you know, they just – something gets approved and all of a sudden they want to take total credit for it. So I just hope most people are not gullible enough to fall for this crap. And that nothing burger of a manic speech he gave this week, because that was the other thing on his list of, you know, failures this week, was that what the hell was this for? I was trying to watch Survivor. Why'd you interrupt this?
I mean, that was a cocaine-fueled speech. I mean, he was overmodulated, yelling into that microphone, and he was yelling about bullshit the entire time. My 79-year-old mother called me the next morning and was like, did you see Trump's speech last night? I was like, of course I did. She was like, what the hell was that? I was like, yeah, I don't know. I don't really know.
Well, I do. You said bullshit. I think it may be Trump shit. I think his pens may have been filled. He was like, I got to get through the speech as quickly as possible. And somebody get my get a change of pen. Like, that's why he was rushing. That's why he was yelling.
Yeah, maybe so.
His pants again.
That was crazy shit.
speech. It was a yell, says Robert. Yeah,
yeah,
it really
complete
was.
Yell. Jessica Tarlov did a great piece about all the stuff from that speech that was a lie, and I think it was about 99% of the shit he said.
Yes. That's all he knows how to do. Yeah. And again, he said in the hot mic moment after the cameras are off that he just did that because Susie Wiles told him to, because he made such a fool out of himself with the speech a week ago, the Vanity Fair stuff. She yeah. told him, you're going to get out there and you're going to give a speech. Yeah. And on one level, I'm glad he didn't declare war or some crazy thing. I had a 1 in 100 hope that he was going to announce that aliens are real. That's how he was going to strike from the Epstein files.
Would you believe him?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I would need to see some sort of proof, because with everything in Trump world, we get no proof.
So. Yeah, no proof at all. Someone in the comments said, I'm going to take the therapist's advice and tap out and enjoy my weekend. Great chat today, boys. Yes.
It was. I don't know if I'm unplugging. I'm trying to stay on the news. I got quotas to meet here before the end of this year, so... But the news cycle, I didn't do a video today for Really American. There just wasn't anything. There was a lot for us to chat about, but nothing I wanted to do. But yeah. I'll be working over the weekend is my point. So if you don't want to unplug, let's see what Really American's got coming your way.
Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome.
All right. You can see our webpage. We do have one. What is that website, Steve?
TheVocalMinority.net, only because we used to have .com and somebody stole it from us and wants like $1 million for it. So TheVocalMinority.net is where you can find us.
Yes, and all kinds of great social media. Like Steve was just saying, check out the Really American page here on YouTube. There's a lot of great material, a lot of good guys and gals that are part of the resistance. And those of you who joined us in the audience today, we always appreciate you, and keep the fight up.
Yes, please. Yeah, we appreciate you. In theory, we're back on Tuesday, as long as no one's been evacuated and we have power and all that. So.
Indeed. We'll see you next time. Have a fantastic weekend.
And that'll do it for another edition of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Thanks for joining us on the Really American Media platform. Check out all our social media wherever good social media is found. Until next time, you tiny little bastards, good day.
Good day, tiny bastards. Good day.